Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Praise the Lord!
My God, is any hour so sweet, from blush of morn to evening star, as that which calls me to thy feet, the hour of prayer? From Daniel chapter 9, verse 20 through 23. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me, and talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Let's pray that God will also make us both understand the things of the past that we can still learn from, and the things of the present and the future that we need to both believe and in many ways do. Our Father, we come through Christ Jesus thy Son. We come through him who alone is the way, the truth, and the life, who alone is the way back to thee. We come through him, Father, by faith, giving thanks that he is not only the object of our faith, but also the author and finisher of our faith. We give thanks also for the Holy Spirit, who can take the things of Christ and show them to us. We believe, Father, that thy Spirit was present here with Daniel, and though the angel came to speak to him, we know that the angel alone, or the angel of himself, could not give him that blessing of understanding, that it must come from thee alone, and he, as well as us, had to have Christ to be made unto him wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. For thou hast told us later by the pen of Peter that there is none other name given among men under heaven than the name of Jesus, whereby we can be saved. And Father, we confess and give thanks that there is no other way since Adam sinning that we can have a right relationship with thee. And Father, we pray that we may not only have it as thy children, but also as thy servants, that we may have it as thy church, that is not only part of the redeemed body of Christ, but also the church that is the pillar and the ground of the truth in the world, and the witness of that blessing, that gospel of Christ. And we pray that it may be made that today in a very needed way, that the church might be brought to repentance, to humbleness as Daniel was, and then to be endued also with understanding and power from on high as the apostles and that early church were at that time. And the church has been given that blessing through the ages from time to time. We pray for it again through Christ. Amen. I'd like to consider once more this prayer of Daniel. I thought it would be less times than we have considered it, but today, believing it's the last time, I want to consider two things: Daniel's prayer and the fact that the angel said he would give him understanding. We read in verse 20, "While I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin." And then 21, "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer." And then the understanding promised. Verse 22, "He informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." And the last part of verse 23, "Therefore understand the vision." When we think of those two things, the importance of them, I think first of all of the fact that God looked down from heaven and saw that there were none that understood. This is what he tells us by the pen of the psalmist, Psalm 14. Paul repeated those words in Romans chapter 3. But when we see also the blessing of prayer, we sang of that. "My God, is any hour so sweet, from blush of morn to evening star, as that which calls me to thy feet, the hour of prayer." We read in the beginning of history, and it may have been some time into history already, but we read in Genesis chapter 4, when Seth was born, that we read, "And to Seth and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord." So here we see prayer. Prayer in the time of Enos, the son of Seth, who was the son of Adam. We see also Abraham sometime later, after God had called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees. We read that Abraham built an altar of the Lord, Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, the last part of that verse, and called upon the name of the Lord. He was doing the very same as Daniel did here later when we read, "And while I was speaking and praying," and again, "Yea, while I was speaking in prayer," speaking to God. Oh, what a blessing to be able to speak to the God of heaven. And he calls us to do that. Here we see Seth doing it. We see Abraham doing it. Later we can find David stating, as recorded in Psalm 40, that he waited patiently and called upon the Lord, and he inclined unto my cry. Yes, God heard David's prayer. He heard his supplication, and he answered it, and he took him out of that pit and placed his feet on a rock. When Seth prayed, we just read, there men began to call on the name of the Lord, and the same with Abraham. There he called on the name of the Lord. We do not see exactly the purpose for which they were calling or necessarily the answer given. But with David, we see it very plainly in Psalm 40, after he cried to the Lord and waited then for the Lord, he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Each one of us need that individually in our life, every one of us, to be taken from being dead in sin to being placed on Christ. Or as Paul said to the Ephesians, you hath he quickened who were dead in sin. And then further in that second chapter of his letter to the church at Ephesus, made to sit in heavenly places in Christ. The very same blessing that David had here, he set my feet upon a rock, which could be none other than Christ. We see also Paul speaking to the church at Rome and telling them, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But along with it, the qualification that how shall they call on him whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Even as Daniel was praying for Jerusalem and for the blessing of Jerusalem, for the blessing of Israel, we ought to today be praying both for the church and also that the church will be so blessed that it will make known the message of God's word to the rest of the world, and particularly the gospel of Christ. Daniel was praying, confessing his sin, praying to the Lord for the blessings promised. In the beginning of that prayer, we can read how we understood by the writing of Jeremiah that God would perform 70 years of desolation on Judah, and he saw that that was nearing an end, and he was praying for that. We may not pray for that exact same thing in the exact same context as Daniel was praying, but we can pray like Daniel did for the present needs and for the future needs, and we can wonderfully pray to the same God. The God, as we saw in previous messages, how he spoke of the Lord God, the God of hosts, different ways in which he addressed him. But he is that same God today, the everlasting God. And also, thankfully, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, as we'll see a little later, promised that if we come to the Father in the name of Christ, that the Father will hear us and answer. So we see Seth praying, others with Seth, then men began to call on the name of the Lord. We see Abram, as he was called, of the early Chaldees, had been called by God, but anyone that is called by God will have, in that process, called on the name of the Lord, and will ever after that pray to God, and woe unto us if we don't. First of all, we ought to pray in thanksgiving, and then also in all of our ways, acknowledge God and have him direct our paths. We can see those wonderful words of Christ as he tells us and as they're recorded in the Gospel of John. John chapter 13, he tells us, or John chapter 14 rather, he tells us that if we pray in his name, the 13th verse, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, he will do it. Certainly, one of the things we can pray for, as Daniel was given, is understanding. The apostles here at this time were being instructed by Christ just before his death, but they really didn't have understanding. And we need to see that blessing as well. As we said earlier, God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand, any that did seek after God, and there were none. That's the condition of man. We also see Christ's promise recorded then a little bit later in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Those are certainly Christ's words, that they spoke them on earth and as they're recorded, but they're as well also all the rest of Scripture is the word of Christ, as well as the word of the Father and the word of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the one that inspired men to write, but he was taking the things of Christ already in the beginning, telling Adam and the seed, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. Christ had said earlier to some of the wicked Jews that if they would continue in his word, they would be his disciples, his learners, and they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. It is believing the word, and whenever we do believe the word, we will pray. And if we are praying rightly, we will be looking to the word. I remember when God was convicting me of my lost condition, how I read the word and prayed. And then I'd go back to reading the word and pray again, asking God to give me what was in the word, to teach me from the word. And here Christ said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. God's word was abiding in Daniel when he was praying. That's where it began. He understood from the writing of Jeremiah. And we may believe that he knew the rest of Scripture as well, all those who had written before Jeremiah. We also see in the 16th chapter, once again, the promise of Christ, verses 23 and 24. He said to the apostles, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Can you imagine the apostles by this time had been with Christ 3 years? And they were very likely praying to God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. But here, after those 3 years being with Christ, he said to them that hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. What a statement. Have we truly asked what we need and our greatest need to be reconciled with God in the name of Christ, crying, God be merciful to me, a sinner? I come through Christ. I come in his name, the only name by which we can be saved, the one who was given the name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. Our greatest need, some of your needs yet for the present. And then if you have that blessing, that's what we should be praying for. As much as Daniel wanted the blessing again for Judah, for Israel, we should want the blessing for the church and, as Paul could say, for my kinsmen, my brethren, my according to the flesh, praying, praying, praying for others. The apostles were, after the ascension of Christ, found in one accord in prayer and supplication. Now, when we come to understanding, when we think of, again, that scripture, the Lord looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did understand. How do we get it? The Lord Jesus opened the understanding of the apostles the afternoon of the resurrection. But long before that, he had to say to them, reproving them. Looking at Mark chapter 8, verse 14, we we read, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. And Jesus knew it, and he said unto them, Why reason ye because ye have taken no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have you yet your heart hardened? Having eyes, see ye not? And having ears, hear ye not? And do you not remember? When I break the 5 loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took you up? And they said, 7. And then listen to what he said. And he said unto them, How is it that you do not understand? His apostles, in this second year of his ministry, he asked them, How is it that you do not understand? Later he would say to them, Hitherto have you not asked anything in my name? They did not evidently have understanding of who Christ truly was, though Peter said he's the Christ. But I'm afraid he didn't know rightly that he was Jesus, the Savior of sinners, and that Peter was a sinner that needed that Jesus to die for him. They understood him as a ruler, as a king, as the anointed one, but not as the humble servant that Isaiah spoke of, that he would lay on him the iniquity of us all. And here, though it was a particular thing that was happening, they didn't take a loaf, they only had one loaf of bread, and they thought that the Lord Jesus spoke to them because of that, when he said, Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And when he reminded them that he had just done these miracles, he could reprove them because they didn't understand the setting. They didn't understand Christ's ways. How is it that you do not understand? And are you yet without understanding? And along with it, even stronger words, have you yet your heart hardened? And then, even more sadly, he had to reprove them when he began to tell them the message of the gospel, when he began to tell them that he was going to suffer and be delivered up. Listen, when he said that he was going to suffer at the hands of sinful men, that he was going to be betrayed of the Pharisees, then we read, they understood not his words. Luke chapter 9, after he said, The Son of Man shall be delivered up into the hands of men, they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, and they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Here we have two sad things together. Daniel was praying, and he was given understanding. Here we have people, apostles, that did not understand, but they understood not the saying, and it was hid from them, and they feared to ask of that saying. They could have talked to the Lord Jesus in person. They could have prayed to him there. We wouldn't probably think of it as praying. Simply, they feared to ask of him. Those two things are necessary. One is to have understanding, and the other is to pray. And in a way, they really come together, or go together. In Proverbs, we read, Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5, My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. These words were written 1,000 years before Christ, 1,000 years before the apostles lived. They should have known them. They should have had those words hid in their heart. They should have been able to say, like David, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And they were sinning in their unbelief. Even on the day of resurrection, the Lord Jesus had to reprove the apostles. He upbraided them for their unbelief. But he didn't leave them there. This is what he did. We read in the afternoon of the resurrection, Luke chapter 24, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Yes, right there, he opened their understanding. Before that, we read plainly, they understood not his words. They feared to ask. They didn't have the blessing, as Daniel did, when he said, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Daniel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, he came, the time of the evening oblation, and he said, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Daniel here had the same blessing that finally the apostles had, and we need, must have. Oh, will we pray as Daniel did, and later as the apostles also came together in one accord in prayer and supplication. That is so much needed. Pray together. Confess our lack of understanding. That's our problem, one of our great problems. We don't understand together the Word of God, and we don't pray together. Oh, pray in the name of Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.